Let me see if I can get this thing going. You say, well, preacher, what if you couldn't get it going? Then what? Well, I've studied them enough that I could make it through it without them. It's April the 17th, 2022, at Zion Baptist Church. Most people call today Easter. We call it the Lord's Day.
Amen.
As every day is, but this is truly the Lord's Day because it's the first day of the week, the day that Jesus rose from the dead. And we celebrate His death, burial, and resurrection and ascension every day. There are some people who only celebrate it on this day every year. But that's a sad thing. And like if you pay attention to any statistics at all, you'll know that Christianity is on the decline across the world, especially amongst churches who preach the truth of the gospel and don't cater to the whims of their gatherings. Their members. God's word does not change. We're going to change this morning from what we've been preaching on, not because it's Easter. Of course, I don't guess that would be a bad thing either, but we are not. And if God would have told me we were going to have guests, I might have dressed a little differently. Instead of wearing blue jeans and a short sleeve shirt. But He didn't. But it matters not. We're in the Lord's house with the Lord's people on the Lord's day, and it's a good day. I wanted to talk about this subject because I've read some things in the last couple of weeks about this grabbing hold and going around to it's being widespread. And growing up in a Southern Baptist church, we were taught about the same thing as a lot of people believe today. And I want to make sure, and I know Zion understands this and it's not the first time you've heard it, but I want to talk about modern day Nephilim. That's how the Jews would say in the plural. It's Nephilim is how most people pronounce it. That's one, but if there's more than one, it's Nephilim. And in Genesis chapter 6 and verse 4, it's the Hebrew word for giants in English. We call them giants, and it does here in the King James Version of the Holy Scriptures. There were giants in the earth in those days, and also after that, when the sons of God came in unto the daughters of men, and they bare children to them, the same became mighty men which were of old, men of renown. Let us pray. Our Father, we thank You for this wonderful Lord's Day. And Father, we thank You that it is the day that the Lord Jesus rose from the dead, as much as we know. But Lord, we celebrate daily, as You well know, You being our Father God, the death, burial, resurrection, and ascension of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the mediator between God and man. And we thank You for Him. And Father, we thank You for the Holy Spirit that leads and guides us into all truth, that keeps us from temptations that come our way from being overpowered by them. We pray your mercy upon us this day as we try to preach the gospel, because we know that the gospel goes from Genesis 1 to the last verse in Revelation. It's all about the Lord Jesus Christ, every word of it. Help us to understand and to learn and to know this, Father. Have mercy on us this day. We ask it in the Lord Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. May the Lord get honor here today for himself. Now, I'm going to try to stick with my notes as much as possible, but you know how I am. I'll probably leave this and go off chasing rabbits. Now, brethren, to understand this subject and to help clear up some false teachings we received coming up in a Southern Baptist church, which by my time had completely left the doctrines of grace and had come to the modern day views and beliefs of easy believism, none other than Arminianism. Undoubtedly, they were deceived by so-called Christian college or seminaries, and they just found out that they could get more members, larger congregations, if they would let everyone know that all they had to do was to make a decision for Christ and they would be forevermore saved and going to heaven. Either way, many people have been deceived by this false doctrine and learned things about the Bible that just are not so. Another gospel the Apostle Paul talks about. False doctrines that the apostles talk about. Doctrines of devils that the apostles talked about. And they are still here. Probably even more now than ever. People better wake up and study the holy word of God for themselves, with the help and the leadership of the Holy Spirit, and find themselves, or they will find themselves in a sad truth one day, and I think not very far ahead. Let us review a few things about Adam's posterity and the history of some of Adam's people. First, never forget all things are decreed in eternity past. Now, I know you here at Zion understand that. All things, everything, every raindrop that falls, every atom that's split, every breath that is taken, every hair that falls from your head, every bird that hits the ground, everything was decreed in eternity past by our Father God. Everything. And it was who was chosen to be the seed from which Christ Jesus would come and who was not. Now you think about that just a little bit and that'll just kind of blow your mind. God never changed his mind. Nothing ever happened that surprised him. Nothing ever happened so that he had to change his plan. Everything that happens, happens according to the will and the purpose of God. Everything. Every breath, everything. If you read the scriptures, the Spirit leads and guides you, you will undoubtedly come to that truth. Remember, Adam and Eve had two sons, Cain and Abel. Cain killed Abel. And God banished Cain and sent him wandering, whose posterity would have much to do with the coming deluge, flood. But we have to go back. In Genesis 4 and 25, and Adam knew his wife again, and she bare a son and called his name Seth. For God said, she hath appointed me another seed instead of Abel, whom Cain slew. Very important. Verses 25 and verses 26 of Genesis 4 are very important. Now, Seth was that seed from which the Messiah would come, and it appears to me that Eve thought that Abel would be that seed. And here are those beautiful words, just like in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 4, but God. You say, well, preacher, it doesn't say but God, it says for. It says for God. And Adam knew his wife again, and she bare a son, and called his name Seth. For God, said she, hath appointed me another seed instead of Abel, whom Cain slew. That preposition for, and see, I'm going to leave my notes. That preposition for there, if you look up the word itself in Strong's Concordance or just about anywhere, you'll find out that it not only can be used for, but also but, and it's many, many different words that can be put there. And in Ephesians chapter 2, it says, but God. And that will fit very well in verse 25 of chapter 4. Somewhere. There we go. But God, said she, hath appointed me another seed instead of Abel, whom Cain slew. So don't think we're doing any injustice here by using the word but, because in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 4, when he talks about in the first three verses what sorry, wretched, depraved sinners that we all were, and that the whole world is, he says, but God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved. But God. Another instance of that God controls everything. Everything. There's nothing in this world that has ever happened or ever will happen or is happening right now that God is not in control of, the very breath you breathe. Never have a doubt about that. And if you'll get that right in your head from reading the scriptures, it will make everything in the scriptures a whole lot more understandable. Now, in order to understand what we're going to get to, maybe, we need to go back and look a little bit at some of the things that were written. And in Galatians 3 and 16, the apostle says to the Galatians, or to the believers, now to Abraham and his seed, that word seed, very important. Very important. And we'll mention it many times today. Now to Abraham and his seed were promises made. Were the promises made. He saith not, and to seeds as of many, but as of one. And to thy seed, which is Christ. And this I say, in verse 17, this I say, the covenant that was confirmed before of God in Christ, the law, which was 430 years after, cannot disannul that it should make the promise of none effect. Understand what that says? That God made Abraham a promise. He made a covenant with Abraham about his seed, as in one, about the Lord Jesus Christ. And And the law of God that came to Moses 430 years after Abraham's covenant with God cannot disannul what he promised Abraham about the seed. Don't forget, nothing ever changes with God. And in verse 26, chapter 4 of Genesis, "And to Seth, to him also there was born a son, and he called his name Enos. Then began men to call upon the name of the Lord." Well, if you just read that, you don't study it, you don't search it out, you would think that before that, they didn't call on the name of the Lord. So the seed from which the Messiah would come, which was Seth, the seed from which the Messiah would come had a son and named him Enos. The names are even very important. Enos, in the most general interpretations, is weak, feeble, frail, mortal, miserable man. Isn't that something to name your son? Such a name. Words mean a lot. We live by words. We make promises by words. Words mean a lot. And names mean a lot. Enos, in the most general interpretations, means feeble, frail, mortal, miserable man. It is very likely that Seth, knowing and seeing the sorrows of human life in his day. Now, he's one generation after Adam. It's Adam's son. And say, well, hadn't there been a whole lot of time even passed? Oh, yes, there was. Hundreds of years had passed. They lived to be 900 and something years old. Some of them 800 in that late 800s. One died at 300 and something. Matter of fact, half the time that most people live, that man died, and a very godly and a good man. And a lot of the Jews said, well, it's because he was such a wicked fella. And because there's a psalm over there that said wicked men would have left half their life of a normal man. Not so in this case. It was a blessing from God. He missed the flood. This one particular gentleman. But Seth was in the seed, was the seed that the Messiah would come through. And his son Enos now would be, E-N-O-S, would be the one that his seed would come through. Seth, knowing and seeing the sorrows of human life, and especially since the sorrows and misery of human life had greatly increased among good men, through the quickly growing corruptions of the age that they were living in, Seth decided to name his son this. But it could also be likely that the Arabic word Anas, A-N-A-S, is where the name was derived, meaning sociable and familiar. Seeing that we are sociable creatures, both in civil and religious things, especially since the next part of this verse reads, "Then began men to call upon the Lord." Now we know that Adam and Abel called on the name of the Lord, prayed to him, worshipped him before this time of Enos, and Seth. With their families they worshipped. God does not change. He taught Adam and his posterity to worship him and to pray unto him just as he has us. And I'm sure even Cain also. But Cain did not have faith with his. So he was banished from Seth's family. He was banished after he killed Abel and had to go a wandering. Very important stuff now. I'm telling you, every bit of this. Stay with me. Don't go to sleep on me. They may have had this prior to this time. Communities had greatly grown by Enos' time and even great numbers and had begun to meet and worship publicly. You just think, if a man lives to be 900s, how many sons and daughters could he have? And they usually started around 100 years old, some of them 65 years old, having children. Noah had his three sons when he was 500 years old. Japheth was probably born in 502, or in his 502nd year. And then Shem, they usually put Shem first, I don't know why, Japheth and Ham. Ham's the baby. Japheth was in the middle. This is very important stuff. So they began to worship publicly and even have gathered socially. They may have done this prior to this time, and perhaps it dropped off or had been neglected. And this could be the reviving with more faith and vigor. So Enos's name could mean familiar and sociable. And they started gathering in groups like churches do today. Just look at how it is today concerning true worship. Even our social gatherings have almost ceased, even for families. They say it's due to COVID. But this has all been by design. Never doubt it. They mean to destroy family units, drive apart parents from children, have them all to accept and tolerate sodomy. It would be to our fall to tolerate such, and to continue in such will certainly be our demise. I told you all, I've emailed our state representative and told him just how I thought about it. That I know there's a law on the books that it is illegal to be a sodomite, male or female, or woke, transgender, or whatever you want to call them. It's against the law in the state of Mississippi. And I said, I expect you to do everything you can to stop it in the state of Mississippi. Put an end to it, run them out, or make them change, whatever you want to do. But it's got to be done state by state. Look at Rome, what happened to them when they turned to sodomy. They fail. And let me tell you something. If we don't drive it from this land, we are going to fall. Probably going to fall anyway, but we certainly are. The Lord Jesus said in Luke 17 and 26, "And as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be also in the days of the Son of Man. They did eat and drink. They married wives. They were given in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark and the flood came and destroyed them all." I don't have time to. I hope you get the meaning there. I hope you get the meaning there. Eight souls were saved. Eight. Out of millions, eight souls were saved. The rest of them destroyed. And everything that was on the earth that breathed air was destroyed, except those that were in the ark with Noah and his family. Don't let us get distracted off our topic. The last part, see, I have to put a note in there for that, or I'll get to chasing rabbits. The last part of this verse could be very correctly be translated, "Then began men to call to themselves." are to be called by the name of the Lord as the sons of God, as distinct from the sons of men. We can see such a thing in Genesis 6:2, which we have not read yet, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair, and they took them wives, all which they chose. It differentiates between the sons of God and the sons of men. I know what some of you are already thinking, but that's okay. We'll clear that up in just a minute. There are some who translate this last part of Genesis 4:26, then began men to call on the name of the Lord, that it is to call upon God the Father in the name of the Messiah, the mediator between God and man. Now, since the birth of Seth, and especially of his son Enos, much clearer notions of the promised seed and the use of them in their calling upon God were realized. You see, these were not ignorant people. They were not stupid people. Adam taught his family how to worship God. Not like the Jews did. He wasn't a Jew, he's a Gentile. He was the Son of God. Genesis is not anything to do with the Jews, or not yet. Not till after Abraham. Got nothing to do with that. These were Gentile people. And they learned how to worship God, how to pray to Him, how to approach Him. And they did. And when the community started meeting, gathering like they were, guess what happened to Cain's people? Do you know where Adam was buried? Do you know where Seth and his children and his grandchildren and his people were living? You ever heard of a place called Mount Horeb? Yes, you have. Yes, you have. It is a very high mountain. And Seth and his people went there. And Cain and his people was down in the valleys. And Seth made sure. And Enos made even more sure. There is a writing about Enos that said when he died, he gathered together Methuselah, Lamech, Noah. There's one more in there. Maybe it's... I call him Jared, but that's not how you're supposed to pronounce his name. Jared. Jared. It's J-A-R-E-D. He gathered them on his dying deathbed and told them, hey, you keep yourselves holy. You keep yourselves away from the valley down there where Cain's people is, do not let your sons go down and mix with them people. Don't mix with them Cainites. Not Canaanites. Cainites. You remember I had one sermon taken off, two sermons taken off, or I had to take them off of sermon audio because I got on the subject. So we won't go too far into that part of it. But that's what Seth told them, or Enos told them. Don't mix up with them people. But in 4:26 there, it could be translated without doing any injustice or damage to the Scripture. Then began men to call in the name of the Lord. That is to call upon God the Father in the name of the Messiah, the mediator between God and man. Because they began to realize even more and better as time goes along, like we do in our own Christian walk, the meaning of the Lord Jesus Christ being the mediator between God and man, and why we pray in the Lord Jesus' name. Because Jesus said, and whatsoever, in John 14:13, and whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. You see? We always address the Father. in Jesus' name, that the Father might be glorified in the Son. Very important stuff. Doesn't mean we can't pray to Jesus. Doesn't mean that we can't pray to the Holy Spirit. They're one God. I never could understand why all the who beget who and why only a few names were used of their children. Now I do more clearly. To be sure, the seed would be tracked from who and how it was passed down from Adam and Seth to the mediator between God and man, including how God controlled it all, and even the evil men that were important in history, and how that affects us today. If people would just read the scriptures, they would understand that this nation is headed for destruction. We would be like Christian in Pilgrim's Progress when the city of destruction was about to be destroyed. That's where he lived. And he tried to get his wife and children to come with him because he knew it was about to be destroyed. And he set alight. Took off without them. Begged them to come with him. They called him a madman. The people of the city of destruction called him a madman. But he took to foot. Because he was headed to that wicked gate that evangelist told him about. To get that heavy load burden off his back. It's a burden of sin. And he had to get rid of it. And if we had just read the Bible, we could tell that this United States is about to be destroyed. And we would change and repent just like the people before the flood. God sent Noah. The Lord Jesus sent. The Lord Jesus sent Noah, the Bible says in the New Testament. The Lord Jesus went himself in Noah and preached the gospel for 120 years. Trying to get the people to repent. Only 8 souls were saved. And Baptist churches and Methodists and Pentecostals and Episcopalians and the Presbyterians, a whole bunch, have thrown the gospel out the window and went with easy believism and just make a decision for Christ so they could have more people. All that's going to do is destroy your church. Get a bunch of lost folks in there voting on what should be done and what should not be. You must be born again, the Lord Jesus said. You must be born from above by the Spirit of the living God. You knew I was going to leave my notes. And you get a bunch of people, members of your church, that have not been born from above by the Spirit of the living God, and they got doctrines of devils inside of them. What happens is what you see today in the modern day churches. And it's a shame. It's brought this nation. I don't blame it on the world. I don't blame it on the ungodly people. It's not their fault. They've been ungodly all their lives. And will continue to be so. I blame it on the churches, the pastors, the preachers. They swapped from the doctrines of grace and that salvation is by grace alone, as we just read. From Ephesians, you're saved by grace. Through faith. And that not of yourselves, it is gift of God. Let me see if I can get back where I was. This is a good place for us to recall how God has controlled and protected His elect forever. How that our God decreed all things from eternity past, and in everything in everyone's life has been fulfilled exactly as God decreed. And by the way, without interfering with their so-called free will. In Ephesians 1:11, it says, "In whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of Him who worketh all things after the counsel of His own will." Now, I'm just a dumb old country preacher. I did go to school, and I can read. And that verse there don't have any big words in it that I can't understand. You don't have to be a doctor. You don't have to have been to a special school for eschatology. "In whom also we have obtained an inheritance," talking about in Christ Jesus, "being predestinated according to the purpose of Him who worketh all things after the counsel of His own will." Now, that's just not hard to understand. God works everything according to the counsel of His own will. Everything. Everything. Now, let me tarry no more. I wanted to read through chapter 5 because it is probably, to most people, very boring. But when I started reading it and looking up the meanings of the names of these people, ooh, and how important and how long it was from Adam to the flood, and how quickly a globe of people could turn to utter destruction of themselves, and for 120 years Noah preached to them to repent that a flood was coming, and it had never even rained on the face of the earth, ever, anywhere. The ground was moistened by dew that came up from the ground. And they toiled and they worked because the ground had been cursed because of Adam and Eve. They had to dig and dig up briars and thorns, and they didn't even have plowing tools. You know who invented the first plow? Noah. Figured out how to rig it up to a four-footed beast and pull it so they could plow the ground. Isn't that something? Noah, a godly Christian man who believed in the Messiah that was to come. I wanted to read through it, and you can read through it at your leisure because it's about time for us to close. Read it. If you'll look up the meanings of those names, especially how they were derived at, how the names, what word they were derived from, so you get the meanings of their names, it makes all the difference in the world when you read that Adam lived a 130 years and begot a son in his own likeness after his image and called his name Seth. And then it just goes on. And Adam lived after he begot Seth 800 years, and he begot sons and daughters, and all the days of Adam lived were 930 years and he died. That's how they come up with how long it was from Adam to the flood, by counting up the lineage. It's in the Holy Scriptures. 1656. "And it came to pass," in verse 1 of chapter 6, "when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair, and they took them wives of all which they chose." Now, do you know there are this is spread so wide, people believing that this was fallen angels that had relations with daughters of men on the earth, and their children were giants and men of renown. That's not what it says. When you read the book, read it good. Read it carefully, because it says, and the Lord said, "My spirit shall not always strive with man, for he For that he also is flesh, yet his days shall be numbered, shall be 120 years. I was taught in the Baptist church that that's when God shortened the years of how long people would live to 120. In other words, they wouldn't live past 120 because God shortened the years. Were you taught that in the Southern Baptist church? She'd live to be 100, or that's the number, that's where God changed it from them living to be 900 and 800 and 600, 700 years old to 120. That's not what that means at all. It's not what that means at all. Got nothing to do with how long people lived. Just read the rest of the book. You'll find out. That meant they had 120 years to repent or die. Because Noah was preaching to them. And you got 120 years. That's what he's telling them there. And Adam lived 100... Oh, excuse me, wrong page. The Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. There were giants in the earth in those days. There's already giants in the earth. And also after that. And people believe that these fallen angels came down and had relations with the daughters of men, and that's where giants came from. No, they were already here. They were here before that, and they were here after that. He's not talking anything about such. And since my time is about run out, I'll just put it to you this way. This is, I told you with Enos, when they started meeting together, and in society, in communities, and having worship, they separated themselves from the sons of men and they called themselves the sons of God. And we see it there in verse 2, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men. So Seth's people went down to Cain's people. The sons of God went down to the daughters of men. And married them, whoever they chose. And they had children, and those children became men of renown. Daughters of men, and they bare children to them. The same became mighty men and were of old men of renown. That doesn't mean they were good men. It means, that word renown means that their name was well known. Because they were big and strong. And they would frighten people. Kill people. Be tyrants over people. People would bow to them. They were scared of them. It was not that they were descendants from evil angels. Think about this. Jesus said, when they asked him about relations in heaven, Jesus said, there will be no marrying or giving in marriage in heaven. For you'll be like the angels. Angels have no bodies. They have no body parts. They could not look upon a daughter of men and lust or have any desires for them. Angels think that we human beings are like worms and bugs. They would like to step on us and squash us, which they could if you just read the book, when one of God's holy angels would come down and in some places there in Israel would destroy hundreds of thousands of them in one night, one angel. That's how powerful they are. And the sad thing is that they are people going around these days saying that they are Nephilim or Nephilim. The Rothschilds and the Rockefellers and the people that rule the world and rule the finances of the world and rule the armies of the world. They say they are Nephilim. They are descendants from the fallen angels and that they are partly spiritual and they are partly human. And you'd be amazed how widespread and how believed such a lie from hell is. Angels don't have bodies. They can appear, or at least the good angels can. They can appear to look like men, but they're not. And if God gave them reproducing organs, and he told Adam it is not good, or he told himself, it is not good that man should be alone without a female. So he made Eve. Well, if it's not good for man to be alone without a female, why would it not be good for a male angel to be alone without a female? If he could reproduce and procreate and make more angels. That's stupid. That's ignorant. But people will believe anything if they don't read the book with the guidance of the Spirit of the living God. Don't be deceived. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Now the whole world was deceived before the flood. Everybody that was here for 1656 years, they were deceived. And they did no different than the Jews did. When the evangelists or the prophets would preach the gospel to them and tell them if they didn't repent, they were going to die. And David said, we will not serve the Lord. We will not do what you say that the Lord said. We will not. And you see what happened to the Jews. God destroyed them. Over and over again. Hauled them off into captivity. Killed them by the sword. Even to the point that Assyria went down through there. Killing ten northern tribes of Israel. Cutting the pregnant women's bellies open. And pulling out the babies and bashing their brains out against the wall. Isn't that something? You say, God allowed that to happen? No, he just didn't allow it to happen. The Bible said that the king of Assyria was God's servant, bringing judgment upon 10 northern tribes that had turned to idolatry and fornication and adultery and just sodomy and everything else. And he wiped them out. Wake up, America, and see where we're headed. Or face what's about to come. Brother Guy, would you ask the Lord's blessings on us? We'll be dismissed.
Well, Lord, thank you for the opportunity that we have to come out to worship.